Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Neighbors for Christ, Word Life Center, Spiritual Growth and Development. We have been engaged in kingdom conversation, looking at topics that affect the body of Christ, current news and developments that we must give an answer to when asked. And so we are seeking to clarify what the Word of God would have us do as a result of some of the situations we find ourselves in. And then what should the church's stance be regarding certain issues in society? We've looked at abortions, we've looked at many of the address and the what should we do when we hear certain things, the music we listen to, and all of the things that then become in what the world would call a gray area. And so, is it gray area in the Word of God? That's what we come together to look at. Last week we talked about discipline. We talked about social media and how it has affected the life of the average Christian. We are looking today to look at gun control and should guns be allowed in church? Should individuals who have license to carry a concealed weapon bring them to church? And what should the church stance be? And how do we communicate it to the body of Christ? So many very, very powerful, interesting topics that we really can't get away from. And so we must start to take a stand and to have Holy Spirit bring clarity to what our life, our emotions, our thinking, and our action, and our speaking should look like. Should you dye your hair? Should you cut your hair? Should women wear pants? Should women wear jewelry or makeup or get tattoos? So there are so many things that divide us often and cause us to judge one another. And we want to have clarity as to what the Word of God would have us do. We encourage you to come out to the physical location at 1750 West 103rd Street in Chicago, Illinois, if at all possible. For being in the house is not just a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, but you get to really interact with the dialogue and the conversation, and then watch how emotions rise and how individuals address issues, non-verbally addressing their approval or disapproval. And so we learn patience, we learn tolerance, we learn long-suffering, all developing the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit. Because as we sit in the midst of one another from various backgrounds and denominations, genders, and generations, we have to make sure that we are Christ-like. What will Jesus do? He, and even Paul said, he made himself all things for all men so that the gospel could abound. And so, how do you address? Do you eat meat or don't eat meat? So how would you associate, address, or interact with an individual that had a insight that was different from your uncle? And how can we be in a place where love abounds, a condition of our heart, so that God gets the glory? We certainly have to study to show ourselves approved, because other than that, are we just giving our opinion? Are we walking intimately close with Holy Spirit so that we know this is what heaven would have us do and to say? We came to many conclusions, and often it is, it's your relationship. And so we're going to turn it in to the physical location. I believe they're up and ready and on site, and get started with today's topic, concealed weapons. Hello, laborers.
Hello, Blog Talk. Good evening. Mic checking here.
Checking good.
All right. Well, good evening, Blog Talk family and those who are on site. Once again, we are here for another exciting Wednesday Kingdom Conversation as we continue the momentum of sharing and maturing through the grace and the power of each other's anointing and wisdom. So let's share a scripture on today. Romans 4:19-20 out of the Message version says, Abraham didn't focus on his impotence and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He did tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautious, skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said.
Amen.
Man, let's pray. Father, thank you for another opportunity to come together and share. Thank you for this cutting-edge strategy to hear the voice of God through each person that you have purposely and strategically placed. So we thank you for what you are doing. We celebrate the good work that you have begun in all of our lives. And we have the confidence that you will not stop in mid-design, but you will continue to perfect us until the day our anointed, liberating King, Jesus the Christ, returns. We thank you for loving us in spite of us over our lives. And we celebrate the God who we love, who died for us, who created us, who watches over us, who delivered us, who healed us, who went before us and made all of our crooked paths straight and rough places smooth. We make a confession. We make a open confession that you are simply phenomenal. You are great. You are breathtaking. You are awe-inspiring. You are good, and you are greatly to be praised. You are an amazing God. You define what best looks like. And thank you that whenever you release, you only have two ways you can release to us, good and perfect. And we thank you for that, and we praise you for that, and we celebrate you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, our conversation today is concealed weapons. What is the church respond to us packing? Us walking in with concealed weapons. So we have our kickoff here that always starts us with good conversation and get us our momentum going. So what's your thoughts, Apostle?
Of course, this is one of those borderline topics that we've all seen. When we talk about, self-protection and protecting ourselves, if the Bible was written long before it was even a talk of a gun, and there wars and rumors of wars and protection and things of that nature, talking about concealing a weapon. My faith says, words of trust. That's what my faith says. And the word says, what would you believe that God can protect you and to keep you. And cut, you know, no danger to cut that be according to Psalms 91. If you read in Psalms 91, you know, but of course, we have those people who, for whatever reason, which is, I don't carry a gun, I'm about to shoot myself, and so trying to conceal something. And that's just my personal thing. I think that, you know, when we think about it, it's along with everything else, where is your faith? Where is your faith if you have to put some stuff in a gun as opposed to putting your stuff in a gun?
Amen.
And thinking about it, even if you're scared of death, and put that background and you will get hurt. So you still have to rely on God, trust in Him, and allow Him to have those fiery thoughts around us to protect us. And I believe that no matter what goes, no matter who's come up on us, God is here having the only thing we can put out of our so we have to have faith in Him.
Here's a church statistic. It says that so it leads off with a shooting that left 126 dead and 20 injured at the First Baptist Church in Southern Spring, Texas, on November 5th. Was far from the first shooting in the United States. More than 91 people have been killed in at least 22 church-related shootings since 1999, with at least 8 shooters then killing themselves also, for a total of 99 dead.
You die of
okay.
I think that looks very different. So if you hire somebody, you know, security or whatever, to keep it, keep the church safe, and that, you know, it's like the police or whatever. That's their job, is to carry a gun. Me, per se, I be trying to treat somebody this, dealing with somebody else. So that's not my job. And so I think that when you're looking at it from that aspect, if it's to protect the church and you want to hire some security, that looks very different than a Christian just toting a gun, a concealed weapon everywhere you go. You gotta have the weapon on. That's just in my opinion.
And those that are Christians that are scared of them, they can't hold control in themselves. Are you doing it for protection, or are you just doing it for madness and not that? So we have to learn how to be able to control the Lord. God allows referee to, you know, kill.
That's a good question. I mean, that's a good I don't know if it's a question, but it's a good thought provoking, you know. Is that giving place to the enemy? Is that possibly open the door based on what you just said? A person, a Christian carrying a gun, do they have the self control to not shoot or just shoot at random because they can and they're angry? Is that giving place, you know, to the devil? Is that opening that door to kind of... You don't carry a gun, though. That might be different if you did. Or do you? What's that called? Metal detectors now, huh? Everybody beeping, coming to church.
A prophet?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I didn't hear what Apostle KP started out with, but there seems to be two issues here. One is why a person is carrying it, but then the other is, should the church, do we have a right, just like we say don't wear pants, we have a right to say don't bring your gun to church? Because in some states and situations, especially like in Texas, guns are a staple. I mean, that's just like having spurs on your boots. It's a part of their wardrobe, whether we understand it or agree with it. But culturally, It's just something they do. Like, there's body piercing. You also have a gun. And even though I know one can lead to much more serious things, but does a person have a right to carry a concealed weapon and bring it to church? You know, and then why a person is carrying a concealed weapon, or a Christian person, I think that's another whole, a different element that we would have to look at separately.
I think that, you know, and just piggybacking on what she said, that a lot of things are motivated here, especially the fact that we, there's very such stories that, you know, the ones that she hit strip, if you keep hearing about people, you know, wanting to consume your food of that nature, and then you probably feel fear if you go and do something, you know, you want to carry your weapon or whatever. The fact, again, it goes back to your faith. Where's your faith? You know, are you trusting and believing in God for your protection? And, you know, what would be the reason for you having to have security? You know, if you got a pack that's telling people to stand up and, you know, lose weight.
And get a block.
So can I ask a question for clarification? Are we speaking specifically as Christians having concealing and carrying bringing it into the church, or concealing and carrying just carrying on the day to day food? Are we speaking specifically in the church house?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I definitely think that, you know, whatever, as Overseer brought up a good point, whatever is the protocol of that house, I think that that particular house has the liberty to say, you know, we don't allow concealed weapon carrying in the church for whatever reason, you know, children, whatever. But I do think that if a church take that stand, then we do need to be knowledge of the laws that govern us to say why we can make that kind of statement for whatever reason. Because, you know, we live in a, I've not got free from a popular word, a hypersensitive society now, that you can't really say what you can and can't do around here. So I think that, a church should or does have that liberty to state as it relates to individuals coming to the church with the gun. So, yes. And I guess my personal thoughts on just Christians carrying it, I don't know if I think if anything is wrong. I don't even know if I would say it's a question of faith. I don't know why I think that, but maybe I need to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, so the next fellowship can be, you know, going to the shooting range.
Can we please pray?
Yeah. Now, I definitely like that idea.
Well, I would say, you know,
it
could be a copy that somebody is just, you know, and they pass the test and license to carry,
How did you know this? Right. It's not scriptural, but it's so nice. Because I have my concealed carry and even though I have
your family.
No. But even though I have the legal authority to conceal and carry, I still choose not to for the most part. Because I also kind of believe, and this is just my opinion, I grew up on South Side of Chicago. And my area is not gross, right? Mm-hmm. And I've never needed one prior to me getting registered. And I kind of feel like sometimes
when you're so gung-ho and quick to carry, and I'm not saying in all situations, but sometimes there's an energy or an intention that you can attract to you unnecessarily. So if I'm going around minding my own business, I don't really need it. I personally prefer the sport of it. But in my industry that I'm in and out of, we can't use banks. So if we have revenue, we could easily have the dollar in your target. And so it's more so for that than, oh, I'm stressed. You know what I mean? But I do believe that on the day-to-day, like, y'all know I'm fine, I'm out on this, but I don't bother nobody for the most part. So I do believe that just, like, caring is the kind of energy you can attract to yourself, which is why I'm mindful about when and where I choose to care. That's all. Just an opinion.
Yeah. Okay, so true story. So, I mean, I've never carried a gun, never shot a gun. I didn't, you know, had that opportunity. My father never took me out to shoot or whatever. So when I was moving back to Chicago, my crew decided to give me a, kind of like a surprise going away party, and I was storing my stuff at a particular friend's place, and they have, you know, acres, they carry a gun, they kids shoot a gun, a three-year-old girl can shoot a gun. And so that was part of the activity for them to shoot guns. So they showed me a, I don't even know what it is, a 45, a handgun, and a shotgun. And so they like, okay, Pastor, shoot. So I'm at the gun. I'm shooting, I'm hitting the ground. And these are live bullets. They like, no, you got to hold it up. So I hold the gun up. We get the target. I shoot the target. And I'm so excited about shooting the target. I swing around with the gun. They was like, Pastor. It's like, you cannot be that excited. I'm swinging around with the gun in my hand. Like, y'all, I did it. I did it. And I'm coming to say something that Sister Tamika said. And Sister Tamika said it really was this. It was this energy. It was this, and like I felt empowered. I felt something, voice deepened and everything. You know, I felt this energy. Like, ooh. So yeah, I agree with what she's saying from the perspective that, you know, you can, you know. And I had some borderline personality disorder. A gun would kind of help some areas in my life, which may not be good for me to have to be carrying a gun. But the sport of it, the relief of it, the camaraderie, the fun, it was something exciting and something that I hadn't yet experienced that made me say, I want to go get a concealed carry. And the other side is, you know, I don't think I've never experienced the driving black until I came to Chicago, you know. So it's almost all kinds of elements that does play a part, and very much like Apostle opened up with a good statement, I definitely know that I'm protected. I know that I am marked, and his angels are encamped around about me. But so do the devil, you know. So, you know, my experience driving on the west side and seeing things that I just wasn't exposed to. I hadn't been exposed to in 13 years. Or even, you know, I worked with a popularity who, you know, they brought guns in our premises, these young kids, and hid them in the garbage cans. Who knew what could have happened? And so all those kind of elements does play a part. And I don't think if I had not had the upbringing, you know, from my parents, my mom, or even what Apostle said, just knowing that I am protected, I know that I am, covering me, I don't know how I would respond to growing up in Inglewood and the South Side, and definitely in a field that I work with now, with the young people who I work with who are very trigger happy and will pull a gun on you in a minute. So.
Timothy is in the third grade, and they sent home this little message saying that if he had brought a toy gun, well, they brought a weapon that looked real. They later identified that it wasn't a real gun, but it was a toy gun, but you know, it was locked out. And they began to talk about all the, you know, cautionary measures they put in place. And his response was, oh, somebody come like that, I'm taking them down. I used that example to say, you know, I think Overseer said in other states and things, it's just part of their culture, it's part of everyday living. We're getting to a place where, like for us, our generation, you know, that's just not something you necessarily do. But this upcoming generation, a gun is, it means nothing. It's like having a bottle of wine. It's an accessory. Okay, they can, any game they play, I mean, you know, they can kill, they can see a gun in the street and say, oh, that's such and such. You go with this way, and, you know, you got how many seconds in between before you should be, you know, wait so many seconds, and you can do something before they reload. So it's just, it's such a, it's part of living, right, while we're in different ways. And I think that we, you know, the church needs to be mindful of, have some kind of policy and procedure for, because it really is, that's probably a much better word, it really is like a accessory. It's coming to the place where it's, you know, okay, I have it in the car, you don't want me to bring it in church, no problem. I could be at my car and back up so quick, I could have just carried it in. You know, and so just kind of being mindful of that. And so what becomes, if it is your right to carry, then do we have a right to say, and of course we do, that you can't bring it on the premise, but can we totally support that state? So the other day, Henderson said, oh, you know, somebody hit you. We just was kind of having this, they were having a moment. You know, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. The other one was like, oh, it's an eye for an eye. You know, so in their mind, it's like, I will turn the other cheek while I figure out how to hit you. But I am turning, just so I can turn back. That kind of concept. So even what all of those things mean, and when we share these things, what does that mean? As these upcoming generations are hearing it, because they're not hearing it, perceiving it with the same experience that our generation or function say. It just wasn't necessarily heard of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even security at a church, depending on the kind of church,
mm-hmm.
you know, they wasn't, you know, prepared to shoot. You know, but, you know, compared to whatever, but, you know, now, to hold. And I think it is a compensation. Somebody talked about the mental instability of people and the spirit behind while we are doing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of those things have to be taken into consideration. Today we're just, you know, talking about feeling care, but, you know, what about some type of knot, which isn't, you know, something we can think about today. But, you know, a weapon in the mind of someone that is being challenged can be anything. And so what becomes the policy on how we maintain a safe environment. If you have guns in the church, how do you talk a person down? You know, a situation jumps up. How do you address it? You look around in the sanctuary and, you know, you got guns pointing. What then becomes how you address that?
Mm-hmm.
Or a gun pointing. Or legitimate scenario is in no other place than that person's mind, what do we do? Deliverance on wrong. I mean, because people have thoughts over deliverance gone wrong. That's all. Imagine it.
It's definitely a thing where we have to, you know, to me, become more sensitive to the realm of the spirit. I think, you know, just in our conversation, it's really getting us to a point of becoming discernment, having a discernment spirit. And we don't practice it. I said it, I think in Ohio, it's a lost art in the ministry. We don't discern, we don't listen. The Holy Spirit, you know, when Paul was talking to Ananias, he was like, look, you stole some stuff, you're about to go, bam, and wait, no, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't no problem. They knew the authority that they had in the word that we speak, and we say so much negative and positive. The guy be like, no, I'm not going to do nothing, because I don't know if you're playing, are you for real, you know what I'm saying? We don't understand, as Christians, the power in our own words.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use it haphazardly. We say things we shouldn't say, so that when we do speak, we have the same move. But I got myself. So, you know, if that isn't what you're saying, I think it's time for us to really get back into a place with God where we are sensitive, where we can sit in the dark and say that, no, you know, something's not right. And I see you outside, you know, even before something happens, you know, what's going on with you, you know, and really, really ministering to a person on that level, you know, for us to begin to take it more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a devout deacon, and back in the day, he lived in a fiber that wasn't here. So he kept the 22, voted 22 on his cocktail table because people were known to come in and rob teachers. And my nephew asked me, and I was over his house. And the gun was sitting on the table, and it was a little gun. And he picked it up and pointed it at me and said, I'm going to shoot you. You know, and we had to kind of like, you know, no, that's not a toy, you know. Put it down, you know, that kind of thing. But in instances like that, when it can definitely go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father, all intents and purposes, was using it to protect himself. But it could have definitely come to.
Then you can know the effect that that would have had on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he said, she was next to her. And then he would be shouting.
I mean, if there's so many scenarios, you know, kids, you know, shooting kids.
Well, kids getting hold of their parents' guns and shooting themselves. I mean, we had to minister to a family, and so we know where that happened a young guy, too. Very young, where his daughter got a hold of their gun, and she killed herself, which was a tragic accident, you know, and tragic for the father as well.
The little brother shot him and killed his sister, and it was the gun of somebody else, fugitive in the past, and then later on, the little girl killed herself. So one sibling killed the other. It was too much on the other one. And that kid, and this is
I mean, and it is. I mean, churches are targeted now, you know, not outside of the, you know, some of the deranged acts, for lack of a better word, but because churches are now, you know, we're very, you know, flashy, I don't want to call it flashy, but materialistic from a perspective. We have big TVs now. They know offerings and all of those things. Churches are as marketed as a target for those kind of things. We have ATMs in our churches now. So, you know, people think in a whole different way as it relates to, you know, targeting the church, which brought up a good point that Apostle started a conversation with. Does the church need security? I guess that's a whole another topic, but, you know, where do we need physical security just in case the angels encounter around us, don't move quick enough? But do we need somebody on the post with a gun, a chair beam,
Of our church.
You never know, like, I'm just, you know,
Mm-hmm. You might have a moment in, when you might be on the pulpit or deliverance and you have to take it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then he is praying, oh, what's that? Oh, my goodness, I couldn't deal with myself. You know what I'm saying? Like a little kid got to it by accident. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You should give your shower on and fall out.
Ooh,
so I catch the bus to church. I take two trains and a bus. I come through some really rough neighborhoods. And just because I'm on my way to the house of the Lord, don't mean I ain't packing.
Right.
So when I get here, you want me to lock it in the apostle's office or something?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Yep, there you go, apostle, get it safe.
What treatment was that when people go?
That was the last, no, it wasn't. I don't remember.
Five months ago?
What was the last year, the last
retreat?
And no wonder.
Okay, but anyway.
Yeah. We had a moment.
I think
we had
it's... Someone is visiting.
One moment. Blog Talk.
Oh, right.
Go ahead, Blog Talk.
Me? Yes.
Yes, well, over here.
I think a concealed weapon, I think it's interesting. Because we're focusing on guns, but I know for years in the Lord had knives. And they have pepper spray.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Accepting that motion.
Yeah, because you do have to have a policy across the board, which is why I say, you know, we are, well, our focus is on guns, but.
Mm-hmm. What you going to do with that tongue?
Like a weapon.
Cut it out.
To give up my gun if they don't have to give up their knife and their pepper spray.
Well, that foul mouth, that tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's good. Because it probably killed more, got more bullets than the guns we carry.
And she. And she read about the numbers.
I don't have a gun. I'm just, you know, here.
She says she don't have a gun. She talking to somebody. Somebody want to know.
No, I'm talking to the church.
Oh. Well, the church is listening.
No,
and,
I'm just saying, not that I have a gun, but I mean, that may be somebody's position.
We acted on
And that is my position, Overseer Paula. I won't carry a gun because I'm scared I might shoot somebody, but I... definitely used to carry pepper spray in my knife, you know, and do have pepper spray in the car, you know, just in case.
Also, visitor comes to church and they're packing. But if they don't come and tell you they're packing, you're the statement is concealed and carried. Mm-hmm. So, if they
conform
it,
then
it's
their
right. But I think that you can
also
be caring
of
something that you know.
Make it
with the announcement.
I love it. Cut off all your cell phones. If you have a gun, please go to cut off your cell phones and bring your gun.
You can't pray for them. And you can't pray for them.
That way they don't hit the floor.
bring your gun to the pastor's office.
Lady of the Christ is a not carrying church.
Well, overseer is Pastor Rogers. And I believe there's two reasons you're carrying a gun. One, you're out to kill someone. Or two, you're looking to get killed. Because now, when in my young days, I carried guns. But when I learned the word of God, I put them down. So my daddy always said, if you carry one, you put it, you shoot. So now if you come into church and everybody got a gun and they getting angry, even if you're not at church, if you got a gun anywhere you going, you carrying it for a reason. And to me, if you got the gun, you looking to kill somebody. So if you looking for trouble, it's always out there. And if we being Christians, we're, our weapon's supposed to be the Bible. And when we come, if we gonna die, at least die serving God. If somebody come to shoot me, at least I can say, well, I got shot in church. I just don't believe in bringing anything, pepper spray and anything else. If we bringing that into God's house, we're not, I mean, you're not believing God for one thing. And we know, yeah, they fought in nearby them days, but now we're living, they weren't taught about the Holy Spirit. So if we believe in that the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, direct, and protect, that's what we have to have faith in. So I was trying to stay out of this, but it was like, oh, this is, it's easy. We either believe or we don't, because God said he will protect us. And if we happen to get killed in the church, which I know some people that did get killed in the church, because you can get killed on your way to church, and you carrying your gun, and it's just a matter of moral values and faith. So I believe someone else said also, if you bring your gun and you don't tell nobody, who would know? So we won't know if you brought it or not, unless something happened. And so if you bring it, you either bring it to kill or you bring it to get killed. If you got that gun on you, that's only two things that guns would do. And it only, the gun can't do anything unless the person that's carrying the gun use it. And by law, can you, if you got a permit to carry a gun, can you have it loaded?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
can you have bullets in the chamber?
Yeah.
You can. You know, you better read this, study that law, because they got some certain rules and regulation, even if they give you a permit to carry a gun in Illinois. So in Mississippi, we can carry a gun all the time. But in Illinois, I think if you're carrying one, you better be a police or somewhere near if you got bullets in it. But we...
Well, they're answering your question, Dr. D. You can have the bullets in it. In the chamber. But I hear you.
Well, whoever answered that question, they better check a little, they better look a little deeper into it and make sure, because I just didn't get my permit. But anyway, they got some new laws that'll get you in trouble and just to lock you up and put you in jail when it comes to those guns. Because the laws are set up just to set you up with these guns now. Yes. Not saying that I didn't have guns, and I think I still got three, but my husband, he came from Texas, someone said, he believed that, you know, if you were caught without a gun, you was naked. But he never took one to church. And, you know, by law, if you're an officer, you can carry your gun, but if you're not, I don't know. You gotta examine those laws or go back and look it up again. If you got bullets in the chamber and you get caught with that gun, even with your permit, you can go to jail.
All right.
Can I just throw something? I'm sitting through with my son and my first. My pop is delivering the word. Is there is my mind. My thoughts on the word or
from the first. I was a person for no money to take it. So am I trying to get the word? I think our mind, more definitely, I just think our mind lives. And we come to church to work.
I wish that was true. You don't have any idea how bad I wish that was true. But weapons like that are so second nature that it's just like the snake that's sitting in church with their cigarettes. Do you think they're concerned about their cigarettes that's in their pocket? They first, well, I don't know where all this is. We're not concerned about our little sippy cups in our purse that got alcohol in it. We're not concerned. Or if we don't include it in our purse, we got them on the top sitting on the floor beside us. It's just, you know, if there's a concern and somebody knocks it over, not, I can't believe you knocked my cup over, but really my drink.
I just bought that.
That's all I got. So, you know, all of our coffees that are laced with other things, we got our concern is that, oh my God, you know, That really is second nature to somebody.
it's like no big deal. You know, have all the pets lined up outside, tied to the spike rack.
Crazy little.
What was the pet song this week? They had praise. You bring your pet to church to be praised. Mm-hmm. Like, pray for the sick, pray for the pet. Wow. And so, but that's normal for people. That's like, what's wrong with you? You know, they listen. Like, I just said it here, but it's like, yeah, we bring our pet to church. Okay. But as comfortable as some people would be with that and not think twice about how much they're using that, it's not what that comes. Some people would be with whatever they're concealed with. We just have to be talking about the stuff, but what else? Yes, yeah, I mean, it could just be, it could be anything. It could really be. I think these are just things that we have to think about because I think we don't think about them, but just because we don't think about them doesn't make it an issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am on the boat of no guns and no offense to the dog lovers. Cat, any animal, no animal. From the goldfish to the pup, no animal. What is the state of the church that we have to even consider this nowadays? We can't just go to the old church.
They brought it.
Some people say, well, you know, that's the only way some people would get in the church is with that.
But what?
Back in the day, he was like, why would we even consider animals? I was like, if you go further back, before there was transportation, there was horses and donkeys.
But they stayed outside the church. They weren't.
They got anointed for the journey back.
They weren't coming to the building and worshiping.
Just they worship.
For a demonstration, right? For
church.
Yeah.
She don't care they there. They made it in.
Yeah. I mean, I wish that.
But I think her point is that, but it's okay for the
demonstration.
But for the demonstration.
Yeah, that's okay. That's different. A demonstration and bringing your dog to church every Sunday is different. Yeah, I mean, like, I get it. You're doing something creative. I understand that.
What if it's my pet therapy?
No.
It's my job. It's my dog that makes me emotionally stable.
Get healed.
Deliver me. Y'all
be your stability ought to be the Holy Spirit.
Like, my boo? Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, I said, they're at Walmart. And it's food
fair. And the
security said, you want
to wait on the
door. Are you serious?
To you? No, to the toilet. So they
look
like, if she is in the air and they're combined, have an asthma attack or whatever, because they don't want to be.
I know
that's right. But that's also the dilemma now that, you know, you got to come up with it. Because now
they doubt
these things, whether
they're entitled
to do whatever they want to.
Because I sure can't tell the visually impaired person who needs
the service dog
that they
set
for the
Excuse me.
We have overflow room for you and your pet dog. You emotional dog.
But no, I mean, I'm kidding. Well, I mean, and I know we're supposed to be talking about weapons.
The visually impaired.
Hmm?
So we're discriminating against visually impaired. They can't bring the dog to church. You know, or they have to be open over by themselves.
Yeah.
What if I'm allergic, though?
But what about me? I have allergies, and I can't sit in the same room with your dog.
There's a pill for all your allergies.
And you got, and I can lay hands on you, and you can be recovered.
And I've been here 2 years.
I'm about to do a Shirley.
Well, if you can do it, then do it.
I'm just going to say, if they're going to say, I made it 12 years, that's how I got my sight.
And I'm going to tell you, you can see. You just don't want to give up your check.
As these are just, he didn't really mean that. So we are definitely.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was a comeback for the record, that, you know, personal fight.
Right.
Wait a minute.
So these are things, though, that he has to look at and discuss and the whole concept about questions. And so we have definitely covered some other areas that's pretty interesting. And so I think these are all good things to begin to look at, because I honestly think these are some of the pre-preparatory things needed to prepare to move. So the ones that thrown off when sisters going through a brother's door.
They're going to say, dog,
or the doctor say, strap this. And then this group come in. When they dog, that's when we were kind of scary at.
All right, then. I think that's
I mean, that's kind of all that we, you know, addressed today, tonight. But I think it is definitely healthy dialogue to be aware or to be on a cutting edge as it relates to the state of the church.
And
which
I guess
something
that
we didn't have to consider years ago.
But even we talked last week, I think we talked about discipline. Children and verbal and physical interaction. Has to be something that's written and stated so that it is out, open, and available. What else have we talked about? Even if it's entire. What people can and can't wear to church. I'm not talking about members. I'm saying even if that extends to visitors. What does that need to look like? How is that stated? So I think we cover a wide variety of really subject, mind-provoking subjects. But all of them require us to have a stand in life. To say, we're not saying it's right or it's wrong. But that's a good time. These are the rules and regulations or the policy and procedures, whatever the case may be, as it relates to this. Oh, I'm sorry. Gus just wanted something that ever came up. Some of this stuff.
But is there a policy?
Yeah. Good. I can assure you it has nothing to do with God, that nothing that we've talked about.
I think we've talked about that.
Yeah. And I don't know that we've had that in place so much for the church as we did for the ministry. So that's a good point. These are things that have to be in place for the church. We probably have more to do, have more to do in for the ministry at this point. Yeah. Some of the ministry. Yeah. So even something like that. How many lives in church? Oh, wow, I want everybody. Isn't that typical? So, you know, what do you do with if someone wants to be married? That's what I'm going to
do. No.
Oh, okay. All of those things, I think that all of those are things that you have to come to have a get the personal belief statement about, and then we need to have some. What else did we cover? So lifestyle.
That's the next question. Our personal belief is low.
Yes.
Does my personal belief statement have to line up with?
Okay, I'll make it easy. With my covering, pick one. Stay in, word life center.
Yes.
Pick something.
Is your personal belief statement?
You just made the statement we had to have a personal belief.
An example.
So I don't mind marrying a same sex couple.
So an individual that does it, that's on that individual. It isn't something that could happen within this. You see what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't be an AEN thing. It wouldn't be an LSC guy.
I'm in Texas. And my girlfriend down there, she married a girl and want to fly me down there and do it because we're just BFFs.
Okay.
So can I go? I mean, so does that stand have to line up with my cover?
It should, but it doesn't necessarily sound good. I thought it was an open question.
No.
Okay. That would be my response.
Okay.
Yeah.
It should.
Oh, okay.
But clearly, it may not. And that seems like an extreme. So whatever your belief statement is, should without a doubt line up with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be our catch-all. Because some extremity minds don't like the Scripture. I'm just saying, some extremities, while we may not agree, Scripture got you covered.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So, point being that we, across the board, what's something else that we've got?
Should Christians listen to secular music?
We did that. I don't know.
It should worship leaders.
Well, no, I was trying to think how that would relate to a policy.
How it lines up to your anointing.
From a policy and procedure perspective, would be this. So you listen to REN and you listen to ZOM. Okay. So I'm not here to judge that, but what I'll say is that while you're at whatever our new address is, REN or ZOM, I would not ask that either, cannot be played on the premise.
Or at the church picnic?
REN ZOM.
I should be in a line with AEN.
Okay, so that's good. That's actually a good one. So can REN or ZOM be played at a church sanctioned event? No. Please feel free to take your group to.
HINKLEY.
what else do we have? Because I just wanted to see how it is relevant so that we can be ready for this transition of what they want to have.
Amen.
And more often than not,
in descending, we end up sinning.
Right.
Because we become dogmatic or judgmental. And so we just had to stand on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
No. There definitely needs to be educated with this, the body of Christ, to the culture and to the times that we're living in, and not based off of opinion and experience, but based off of the Word of God. And so I have to talk about discernment, and even that used to be such a safe word, and now it's a, that word scares me. When I hear people talk about it, we used to, like, with great joy say, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit, or be led by the Spirit. And now, because I don't know what spirit you mess around with, it just, there's just so many other things involved in that. So, it really is going back to the whole scroll. Having a relationship with Genesis to Revelation. Okay. It really does go back to the whole.
I mean, I think it is very much spiritual. I mean, when you look at, you know, when Moses spoke with Israel, he addressed their time. You know, he addressed their season. That's why they had the sons of Issachar, who knew the season and timings of God. And in the same way, when John the Baptist came on the scene, he addressed that culture, that time, that season. Christ did it. Paul did it. And, you know, John did it and set us up for the future to address the time. And I guess as I'm sitting here, somewhat kind of like irritated, like, dang. But on the other side, it is like, it's different, you know. You have to, you know, you said equipment, you said education. I thought, well, we need to be equipped. We need to be enlightened. I can go a whole bunch of E's that we need so that we are addressing a generation that has yet been created. So that they can praise the name of our God, because he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And my son's generation is going to have no clue about who they are, whether they male or female. Can they take ownership of, I think it was Elder April when we first started this, that gave us some education. Sex is how you were born, and gender is what you choose. I'm still blown away about that. But that is a reality, and that is a generation that is going to come to our house. Our house is, you know, as it relates to the kingdom of God, and we do have to be prepared so that they can praise the name of our God, who has not changed, and who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And how would I parabolize them so that they can be drawn to the kingdom of God? And I guess that's the way that I'm looking at it now, you know what I'm saying? And I praise the name of Jesus that I was born in 1976, more so now than ever. But that is the reality of where we're going, how we minister, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because we're going to have we have more of a, what do I want to call it? A social media generation now more than anything. You know, you don't even have to go to church now. You can live stream it anywhere, everywhere. You can be in the comfort of your home and listen to it on Blog Talk. You know what I mean? No offense, Blog Talk, no shade. But I'm just saying, you don't, and you can still get the same effect. And people are growing, and there we go, there we go. So, you know, how do we continue to thrive, or I'll use my language, how do we continue to have a momentum and reach that generation yet to come and give them a maturation so that they can experience miracles for their generation? Me and my mom was talking this morning just about
you know, things that we saw back then, which I guess is a can be a whole different grade of work, you know. You know, I grew up in a generation, so a whole family came in drunk, got healed, and living and saved. You know, what does that look like now? That was just alcoholism, but, you know, what do they look like now coming in with red and pink hair, and it ain't even a hair, and you didn't know it was or what it was. It was born but chose. And so how does that happen? So, yeah. Do we lay hands now so breasts can grow back for the ones you cut off? That's the kind of miracles we don't have to have.
Greater works.
A generation that's yet to be created that's coming, you know, from that. So
some of it has not changed. The feelings in my head. We can take all and get everything we need. Just, you know, save money and everything because you don't have to give your tithes an offering. But that was an offer. So there's money.
Sidebar ministry over here. Say it again, Mom.
I said, you were saying that you could, some people are probably saying you could stay home, do the bra chop, and in this day time, and that would be fast.
True.
But only say this lady can't put her top.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I guess it's more prevalent now. It's more comfortable. You know, there was a society where you got up on Sunday mornings and went to church, you know. But you just don't have to now, you know, or people just don't.
They're excited about getting up.
And going to church on Sunday.
They don't get to fellowship.
Yeah.
Like some of the church, everybody talks about, you know, everything, but there's going to be a word.
From the Lord. Yeah.
So for the self,
mm-hmm. All right. Well, good conversation. Good topic to mature and grow from and continue to have this fellowship, this kind of kingdom maturation and momentum going. Anything else, Apostle?
No. So just for next week. We kind of talked about, and I definitely wanted to address, it kind of came up last Wednesday, should people that are intoxicated be allowed to worship?
Yeah.
Right, so I'm drunk. Should I be allowed to come in and preach or sing in a choir? I don't know. Worship, you know, do whatever.
But you're the preacher, should you come in and preach?
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm a lay person, and I'm drunk, but I come in here to preach.
So, no, I just had to start with the preacher because it was safer. You know, so should the lay person that's intoxicated be able to come in and worship?
This is next week.
So now I'm giving us some options. But I decided to start with should leadership.
I think we can address both on that.
Are under the influence be allowed to come in and serve? Or should they be asked to leave? Sit down and leave.
Sit down or leave.
No, not sit down or leave. Sit down. Okay, go get your stuff and get out. Is that better thing?
Okay, next week.
Or we have stress, one nation under stress. We have the inhale and exhale in Christians and mental health and children.
So, I mean, we've been putting the inhale and exhale back for a while. I think we should address that.
Thank you. The inhale and exhale is kind of like, good Lord, as a believer, what can I do?
Yeah.
What am I allowed to do to de-stress, to just, okay, what can I go do? Because we got a whole list of what you pay. So any takers for that point?
Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay. All right. So you can still bring your coffee cup and
I'm right there. I can't wait the next week that I found y'all. I said, y'all didn't like the back.
Wow.
Is that what this is about? Gotcha. Hold on. I have to pause that. Okay.
Amen. So, Father God, we come and we thank you. We exalt you and we lift you up. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for enlightenment. God, we thank you for direction. God, we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, that as we go forth, the eyes of our understanding will continue to be enlightened, God. In the name, open, okay. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray for, Father God, for true discernment. We pray, Father God, for the church, the kingdom of God to arise, Father God, and the enemy to our destiny, Father God, the enemy to the character of the kingdom will be scattered. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Father God, for such an intercessory life, Father God, and a teaching anointing to fall. Father God, we thank you for the anointing of the apostle, for the governmental establishment, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for the foundation of your word, which the church was built on, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against the kingdom of God and that which you have called and anointed us to do, to walk, to be, to live, Father God, and to stand for will be utterly condemned. And Father God, we thank you and praise you. We pray for the character, the integrity, the strength, the wisdom, and the knowledge, Father God, to live holy and upright, Father God, without excuse, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you commanded us, the church, to go and sin no more. And that was it. That was all, Father God. So we thank you and we praise you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Good night.
Good night. Oh, lock up.